Acts chapter 8, notice verse 26 down through verse 28. It says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet." Now, before I give you the title of the message today, I'm really going to be preaching a message that may not necessarily be politically correct, but I think that you know that I try to not be concerned so much about being politically correct as I am about being biblically helpful. And I want to use the Bible and the Word of God to be able to help all of us. And by the way, there have been times, because I'm going to single out a certain group today, and there have been times in my preaching when I have singled out certain groups in a congregation, but yet I still want God to speak to everybody's heart individually. There are times when I have just singled the youth and I preach to the youth. Then there are times when I have preached to married couples when I'm preaching on the home. There are times like on Mother's Day when I'm just preaching to mothers. But fathers can get a blessing out of it also, and single people can get a blessing out of it. There are times when I'm just preaching to fathers, but mothers can get a blessing out of it. There are times when I'm preaching to singles, but married couples and others can still get a blessing out of it. So today, I'm going to preach as God has given me to a select group of people on Martin Luther King Jr. weekend. I'm preaching on what has happened to our black men. What has happened to our black men? Let's get some help. I know God is leading in this because I know when he lays something upon my heart. Let's get some help. Father, thank you today for blessing us. You allowed us to be here. Father, everything is by your design, by divine appointment. And so, Father, I pray today that you'll speak to all of our hearts. And, Father, especially the black men that are in here. Father, everybody, but I'm preaching specifically to them today. Father, please have your will in your way. And again, I pray, Father, speak to every man, every woman, and every young person, but especially to every black man who is here today. Have your will and your way. In Jesus' mighty name, save that one that's near as hell, please. Amen. Now, I've said this once, I've said it twice, I've said it in my prayer, so I'm going to say it again. I'm preaching to black men today as I'm dealing with this, but I want God to speak to all of our hearts. Here, the man in our text, this man was a black man. He was an Ethiopian eunuch, but he was from the area of Ethiopia. Now, when I look at this black man's life, I have to ask the question, what has happened to our black men? Well, let's look at some things from this man's life today and see if we can apply it. Normally, I'm a person who will preach about 3 points and then I'm through. Today, I have 8 points. Matter of fact, when I first got it, I had 12 points and then I had to trim some off. But don't worry. Don't have a heart attack. Don't go into cardiac arrest. You still will get out on time. You say, what time is that? On time. I promise you, you'll get out on time. I didn't say what time, but it will be on time. And so let's look at some things today from this man's life and then ask the question, what has happened to our black men on this Martin Luther King Jr. weekend? Number one, the first thing I want to say about this man, number one, this man was working. This man was working. Notice Acts chapter 8, verse 27. And I'm going to start with some secular things, so to speak, and move into the spiritual. This man was working. And by the way, even what I'm saying now is still spiritual, and you'll catch it in just a moment. This man was working. Notice Acts 8, 27. And if you don't get it down, and I know some of you are taking notes, if you don't, I'm going to keep repeating myself as I go throughout the sermon, so you'll be able to get all the points. Notice verse 27. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure. Here was a black man. This black man had a position. This black man was working. This black man was using his mind. This black man was using his hand. This black man was working. Listen, I've been around long enough to where I wonder about some things. Listen, this man here in our text, he wasn't lying around the house waiting for a woman to take care of him. The sad commentary that we have within the black community today, and it's not just isolated to the black community, but I'm just speaking to black men today. But the problem we have, or one of the problems, is that there are too many black men who are lying around waiting for a woman to take care of them. And many, many women, their hearts are just torn. And many mothers, their hearts are just torn. And many fathers are tired of, you know, shedding out dollars because you've got a grown, or a matter of fact, I'll say an overgrown, rusty man laying around the house, don't want to get out and work. What's happened to our black men? What's happened to our black men? What's happened to our black men? Now, I'm not talking about a momentary setback where someone is working and they lose their job and now they're trying diligently to find a job. I'm not talking about someone like that. But I'm talking about a lifestyle, a person who just doesn't want to work. And years ago, you used to hear women saying, I want a man with money. Now you're looking for men who are looking for a woman to take care of them. And that's not right. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 8 says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 10, the apostle Paul wrote, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Ephesians 4:28 says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Listen, God expects men to work. When God created Adam in the Garden of Eden, God had the trees that God had made and had placed there that he had created. And God created man, of course, on the sixth day from the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. But even though God created man, and even though he put him in a perfect environment, God still expected Adam to go to work. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, don't turn there, it says, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. In other words, God wanted Adam to till or to cultivate the land. It had already been previously stated there in the book of Genesis about how a mist would come up because there was not someone to till the ground. And so God wanted Adam to literally come in and to till the ground, to take care of things. He wanted him to work. He didn't want him to lie on his back all day looking up at the sun with a piece of a straw stuck in his tooth and counting the clouds. He wanted him to get out there and to work. And God expects to work, men to work. Listen, if a man is physically able to work, he should work. What has happened? We've lost our character. What has happened to our black men? I said, number one, this man was working. Number two, this man was being promoted. Notice Acts chapter 8, verse 27b. It says, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. Listen, I don't know all that this man had to go through in order for him to rise to the top. But whatever he had to do, it was done, and he was promoted. There had to be something in his character that Candace was, saw that allowed this man to be able to rise up through to the ranks unto where he was literally running things. See, we need some black men who are not just concerned with getting a job, but whatever job you get, you ought to say, hey, I want to try to rise to the top. Don't be satisfied with just staying at the bottom. Determine you want to rise to the top. If you start working at McDonald's, see yourself rising to the top. And after a while, walking around with a manager tag on you, see yourself running something, maybe even owning a franchise one day. See, you've got to see yourself greater than what you are. We need a group of men who are willing to go to work, but yet not satisfied with the status quo and want to rise to the top. You look at Joseph, who was not a black man, but everywhere you put Joseph, he would always rise to the top. You sell him into slavery, let him go down to Potiphar's house. After a while, he's running everything in the house. You lie on him and have him sent to jail. After a while, he's running the jail. You let somebody forget about him, and 2 years later, he's running the nation. See, that's what I'm talking about. You gotta see yourself greater than you are, mister, and determine you're going to ascend up the ladder and not just stay on the lower rung. What has happened to our black men? I said, number one, this man was working. Number two, this man was being promoted. Number three, this man was in control of his body. This man was in control of his body. Notice Acts chapter 8, verse 27a. It says, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch. This man was a eunuch. Matter of fact, there were three types of eunuchs, even as Jesus even delineated. I'm not going to preach on the three. I could just tell you what they are. I know what they are. But there were three types of eunuchs. But I want you to get this point right here. This man was a eunuch. This man was not married. But yet this man was in control of his body. He was a eunuch. Here's the sad commentary about our black men today. Many of our black men are not in control of their bodies. Today, you've got black men who are, you know, lying around with this woman and fathering children, and lying around with this woman and fathering children, and lying around with this children and fathering children all over the place, and yet being a father to none. What has happened to our black men who will say, I want to wait until God gives me the right one. And then when God gives me the right one, then I'm going to get that one and I'm going to keep myself until we get married. What has happened to our black men? Today, black men are running around just like dogs. You know what I'm saying? Just one child after another, after another, after another. And by the way, I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm trying to help those who have not gone down the road yet. At some place, at some time, we've got to stop this. This man was in control of his body. You have to determine to be in control of your body. Don't let your body control you. What's happened to our black men? This man was working. This man was being promoted. This man was in control of his body. Number four, this man was trustworthy. This man was trustworthy. Notice Acts chapter 8, verse 27c. This man was trustworthy. It said, who had the charge of all her treasure. In other words, this man was trustworthy. Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, entrusted all her treasure to this man. This man was trustworthy. He had character. She wasn't worried about him stealing her stuff. Listen to me. There was a time, I've been living long enough, when I can remember when you would see, you'd be walking down the street and you'd see a group of black men coming. And man, it was a camaraderie there. Hey, how you doing? By the way, sometimes it's like that up in the mountains. But it's like another one, amen, that showed up. Some of you get that later. But there was a camaraderie. But now, ladies, you know what I'm saying, and men, you do too. Now you see a group of black men coming and a group of black teenagers sometimes, and all of a sudden women start clutching their purses and men start feeling for their wallets, start getting in a prone, and not in a prone, but in a position to feel like they have to defend themselves. What's happened to our black men? What's happened? Instead of trying to steal stuff, go out and work for it. What's happened to our black men? There was a time, let's say, when black men had character, when black men were trustworthy, and you still have black men today who are trustworthy. You still have black men today who have character, but you've got a lot who are hanging out in the blocks and trying to take what somebody else has worked for. Listen, this man was entrusted with all of her treasure. I guarantee you, you'll agree with what I am saying, that you would not leave your, by the way, it's sad. You can't even leave your purse or your cell phone, sometimes even in church these days. It will disappear. And if you want to lose all senses, walk about three blocks over on Friday or Saturday night and just pull out some money and start counting it. If you want to just lose your mind, just go ahead and do that. Because if you do that, then you're three bricks short of a full load. There's bats in the belfry. Your bread is not baked. There's something wrong. It's sad. I hate to say it, but I've got to say it. There are certain areas that we go into, and sometimes when you go into, you have to start hitting that button on the side. Click, 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 click. Some of you know what I'm talking about. I see a hand shaking. Some of you know exactly. I see a hand raised up. Amen. Some of you know what I'm talking about. What has happened? Listen, we need some black men who are trustworthy. And sometimes, because some are not trustworthy, it causes others to doubt even the ones who are trustworthy. What has happened? Number five. I'll keep going over them. What has happened to our black men? Number one, this man was working. Number two, this man was being promoted. Number three, this man was in control of his body. Number four, this man was trustworthy. Number five, here it is. Get this one now. This man was reading and comprehending. This man was reading and comprehending. Notice verse number 28. Was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Now I'm going to read it again, and I want to put the emphasis where I so desire. Was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. This black man was reading from a Jewish scroll, the book of Isaiah. And this black man was comprehending what he was reading. He was reading with comprehension. Now, I'm going to read some scripture to you. And when I read this scripture, it's going to sound like as if I just contradicted what I said. But just give me a hearing and you'll understand where I'm going. Look with me at verse 30 down through verse 35. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? In other words, Philip didn't even have to look at the scroll. He knew what the man was reading. And then verse 31, watch this. And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a lamb, as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now again, this eunuch understood what he was reading, but he didn't know who the prophet was talking about. He was trying to determine, was the prophet talking about himself, or was the prophet talking about somebody else? By the way, there are times when you read the Old Testament scripture, if you do not know how to pair the Old Testament with the New Testament, you will wonder if the person is talking about a situation right there or if they're dealing with something prophetically. It's not that you cannot grasp what you're reading, it's just that you need the interpretation of what you were reading. Here was a black man who was reading a Jewish scroll and was comprehending. If you look at verse 34, that's one word that I want you to look at. Look at verse 34. It says, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? He knew what he was talking about. He just didn't know if it was of the person doing the writing. He even understood it was a prophet who was writing. He understood, but he didn't know if it was talking about him or someone else. And then Philip told him he's talking about Jesus and gave him what he needed. This man knew how to read. Listen, when I was even preparing this and to read with comprehension, even when I was preparing this, I just thought to myself, I said, what is the literacy rate here in America? And so I got on the internet and started looking up some things. I never try to take one person's word for it. So I try to look over here and look over here and look over here to see, to make sure that everything is pairing up right. And the literacy rate here, it's shocking. It's astounding. I'm just going to read you a couple of things. There are some things I just took out as I, you know, dissected it, and I'll just get you down to the meat. Listen to this. According to a study conducted, and this took place in 2013, by the U.S. Department of Education and the National Institute of Literacy, 32 million adults, and by the way, this is just not blacks, this is just across the board here, 32 million adults in the U.S. can't read. 21% of adults in the U.S. read below a fifth grade level. That's staggering. That's shocking. Listen to this. 85% of all juveniles who interface with the juvenile court systems are functionally illiterate. And over 70% of inmates in America's prisons cannot read above a fourth grade level. And that was according to BeginToRead.com. You know who makes up the majority of the inmates here in America. What has happened to our black men? There were people like Martin Luther King Jr. and others who literally put their lives on the line so that people could have access to institutions of higher learning. And our black men today are not taking advantage of it. One day I was driving down 17th Street and I parked right at the traffic sign of 17th and Liberty. And I saw just all the people around and I said, our people have lost it. They're lost. And I'm not talking about just lost as far as spiritually. I'm talking about lost as far as direction and the way that things were going and what people were allowing dogs to bite them and getting hosed down so that you could go to some place. And now it seems like as if we have lost some things. What's happened to the black man? What's happened to the black man? Let me say something, students. Don't go to school and goof off. You have a privilege that has been awarded you. You need to take advantage of that. Too many people are going to just play around, and after a while, they're going to come to the realization that they goofed off, and now they can't get the jobs and things that they need or that they want, I should say. And so they have to settle for something less. Don't play around. If you are an A or B student, don't you settle for a C or a D. or an F. Don't be satisfied if you get a C and you have worked as hard as you can and you put the time in and you've gotten with other students and you have done your study and your preparation and that's all you can get, then praise God. But if you goof off, if you don't apply yourself and you get a C, what could you do if you would apply yourself? You could be a C or an A student. There are people who are cheating their way through college. I remember our son Scott when he was talking and he was saying how at one time, you know, he knew that people were cheating and, you know, they were getting tests and filling them out and giving them to the professor. And you could have one person have a cheat sheet and that thing can get passed around. But I remember telling him, I said, don't worry about it. I said, they're cheating their way. They may even get a GPA that's a 3 point something or even a 4.0. Now, you have to do a lot of cheating to get a 4.0. But cheating. I said, but what will happen is whenever they do graduate, they'll get out there and they will not be able to deliver the goods. And they're going to come after the ones who can deliver the goods. And they did. Amen. Here is what I'm saying. Don't goof off. It's time for you to apply yourself. People have gone through a lot. This man was a black man and he was reading. A Jewish scroll. What's our excuse today? Nobody has an excuse. The literacy rate in America should not be like this, but somebody has dropped the ball. And by the way, let me throw this in there. Above all, when you read the Word of God. This man was reading the Word of God. You know, we had a man in our church in South Carolina. He learned to read. He's an older gentleman, but not too old. But he learned to read by reading the Bible. Here's what I'm saying. What's happened to our black men? What's happened to our black men? This man was working. This man was being promoted. This man was in control of his body. This man was trustworthy. This man was reading and comprehending. Number six, this man was God-fearing. This man was God-fearing. Notice Acts chapter 8, verse 27d. And had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Acts 8, 27d. This man was God-fearing. This man was coming back as when Philip met him. This man was coming back. He had already been to Jerusalem. Now he's traveling back. He's down here in Gaza. This man had traveled a long way just to worship. This man had come from Ethiopia. That meant he had to travel all the way along the Nile, up through Egypt. And then you got the bottom part of the Mediterranean, which is shaped like the way my hand is going right now. He would have come across the lower part there on the outside of the Mediterranean and then went through Gaza and then up the hills into Jerusalem. Now he's worshiped in Jerusalem and now he's coming back going home and now he's at Gaza. This man would have traveled over 1,000, well over 1,000 miles just to get to the place to where he could worship. Matter of fact, even today, from Ethiopia to Jerusalem is approximately 1,600 miles. Matter of fact, to be just about exact, 1,500 and about 93 miles to be exact, but I just rounded it off. And so here you have a man who traveled that long distance to worship. This man at this time was not saved. This man was not a Jew, but this man would have been referred to as God-fearing. See, a God-fearer was a non-Jew who respected the Jewish law and sought to worship the God of Israel. And that person was called a God-fearer. By the way, I don't think that our country has ever been a Christian nation, but it has been a God-fearing nation. And so this man was called a God-fearer. There would even be times when he would worship in the synagogue, and evidently he did. Because you remember in Luke chapter 4, Jesus was there in the synagogue. Jesus was given a copy of the Isaiah scroll. Jesus read from the Isaiah scroll, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because they have anointed me to preach the gospel." And you know the story and the scripture. And then the Bible says he turned and gave it to the minister who was there. This man had a copy of the Isaiah scroll, which meant, of course, he had come to Jerusalem to worship. But this man had enough clout and power to where, even though Jesus gave it back to the attendant, this man had enough power and clout to where he was able to get a copy of the word of God and had that Isaiah scroll and was out there and was literally reading it. I don't know how he was able to get it. Maybe he purchased it. And by the way, when you really, and I'm saying by the way a lot, but when you value something, you don't mind reaching deep and giving for it. It could have been that he just pled and they gave it to him. I don't know how he got it. We could stand up here all day and debate that. I don't know, but he had it. And this man was there reading the word. This man had a fear of God. Listen, there was a time when black men were more God-fearing. I didn't say they were saved. I just said they were more God-fearing, but now things have changed. Now black men, they don't mind just taking God's name in vain. Now instead of going to God's house, they want to hang out at their own house or do something else. They don't mind going and driving down the street and throwing a beer can on the church parking lot. No respect for God and for God's house and for the things of God. I've even run into black atheists. You never used to hear that in years gone by. What has happened to the black man? This man was God fearing. What has happened? I said, number one, this man was working. Number two, this man was being promoted. Number three, this man was in control of his body. Number four, this man was trustworthy. Number five, this man was reading and comprehending. Number six, this man was God-fearing. Number seven, this man was humble. This man was humble. Notice Acts 8:30 and 31. It says, "And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him." He asked Philip to come and sit with him. This man had a high position, great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man was wealthy. If you'll notice in verse number 28, it says, "was returning and sitting in his chariot." This man was not riding around on a mule or a donkey or even a horse. He had literally a horse-drawn chariot. This man had a position. This man had finances. This man had power. But yet this man was humble. He said, "I'm not a know-it-all. Philip, I need some help." It's sad to say, but sometimes, and it's not just our people, but I'm preaching to black men today. Sometimes a black man who didn't have much can get something, and after a while, you can't tell him anything. Get a position on the job, and because they have a position on the job, they think they know everything in the spiritual realm. What God is looking for is God is looking for somebody who is humble enough to, even though they might have a position out here, when it comes to spiritual things, you can still learn something. Say it to say, but sometimes we can get something. And then we get something, and all of a sudden it lifts us up in pride. Our nose gets so high, if we walked outside, we'd drown when it was raining. Stay humble. Stay humble. Regardless of what you get, you don't deserve it anyway. And the last time I check, it's all gonna burn. If you have a position out in the community, thank God for it. If you have one on the job, praise God for it. But when it comes to spiritual things, sit down and learn something. Amen. This man This man was humble, humble, humble. You can go to a church and you can see him. I thank God. I'm serious about this. We don't have that here. If we do, you cloak it very well. But you know how it is. You can go to some churches and you can just walk in. And you don't even have to be introduced to the person or know something. He gonna walk around like as if he owns the place. Pride. Just because he got a little something to drive. Got his chariot sitting out there. With chrome spokes on it. And God has his garb and all of this. His threads and well, it's probably antiquated, but his bling. All of that. And he feels like as if now he's lifted up. Listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. This man was humble, had a position, had a chair, all of this, but he was humble. He said, I need somebody to show me. Philip, would you please help me? I need to, for you to translate this. I'm having a little problem right here. I understand what's going on, but I just don't know if he's talking about himself. Help me, Philip. And thank God Philip helped him. Listen, this man was humble. This man was humble. Don't ever get to the place, Mr., where you can't be taught something. This black man was not like that. What has happened to our black men? Here's the eighth and the final one. This man was eventually saved and walking in obedience to God's word. I said this man was eventually saved and walking in obedience to God's word. Notice Acts chapter 8, verse 36 down through verse 39. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he, that is the eunuch, went on his way rejoicing. This black man was saved and was eager to walk in obedience to God's word. After he was saved, he was baptized. And by the way, that's the first step in obedience. If you've been saved and you have not followed the Lord in believer's baptism, then you need to be baptized. What has happened to our black men? Listen, historians tell us. And see, normally the way a person starts, it's not always like this, but normally the way a person starts, a lot of time will let you know what their spiritual life is going to be about. This man had the word of God even before he was saved. He was reading it, trying to understand it, trying to comprehend as far as whether it's, you know, which person is he talking about. He had a desire. He wanted that word and he got it and he had it. And now that he has been saved, now he wants to follow the Lord in obedience. Evidently, Philip told him, now you need to be baptized. And now this man said, listen, I want to hear some water right here. We don't have to go any further. What hinders me from being baptized right now? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. That man said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Listen to me. Here's what happened. And I paraphrase that last one. Here's what happened. Philip went down, took that man and baptized that man right there and brought him up. The Bible said the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. That meant that the Spirit of the Lord, you find the same word over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 17, right in that raptural passage. It literally means that the Spirit of God translated Philip from right where he was all the way over to where the next town where he was supposed to be going, which was Azotus, and which was a total, I have it here, of 34 miles from Gaza. And so God allowed Philip to get a little taste of what the rapture was like without the transformation and transported him 34 miles with God. Nothing is impossible. Praise God. He's able. Amen. He's able. And so thank God he translated him. And this man had a heart and a desire, this Ethiopian eunuch, to follow and walk with the Lord. And historians tell us that this man went back to Ethiopia and begin to preach the same gospel that he had received there and was mightily used of God. What has happened to our black men? Where are the black men who will give their lives to Jesus Christ for salvation? Where are the black men who will lead their families in serving the Lord? Where are the black men who will take the spiritual leadership role in their homes and do what God has commanded them to do according to the word? Where are the black men who will lead their families to church and be with their families and set the right example? Where are the black men who will do that? What has happened to our black men? What has happened? What has happened? This black man was working, being promoted, in control of his body, trustworthy, reading and comprehending, God-fearing, humble, and eventually saved and walking in obedience to God. Will you be that man? Let's bow for prayer.